So there was always, within the Abbasid caliphate, these sources of discontent. As sectarians, they also disputed among themselves exactly what was the right way. There was a significant split in this Shiite group that occurred in 765 when the sixth descendant from Hussein, who was one of the sons of Ali, the second son of Ali, and was regarded as the next successor after Ali, that with his name was Jafar, that he had two sons, one of them Ishmael and another one Musa, and the Ishmaelites are known as the Seveners, and the Musa is the Twelvers. That is, there is a split on within the Shiites of which group you wish to follow. The Twelvers, for instance, are now the basis for many of the Shiite groups in Iran and Iraq today. That was the group that followed Musa in his succession down to 873 when the Imam disappeared and a reign of hidden Imams followed. The invisible Imams who were awaited at the end of the days at the Great Apocalypse. Ishmael's followers, on the other hand, believed that he was the rightful successor, and they organized themselves into a variety of groups. The most famous of them are known as the Nazarites, or more popularly known as the Assassins, who emerged in the 11th century and were extremely good in infiltrating and killing Sunni magistrates and rulers that they found offensive. They had a major fortress at Alamut in the Elburz Mountains just south of the Caspian, and were notorious for sending out hit squads against any Sunni ruler they found offensive. They actually were very good at doing crusaders, too. I think it was in 1152 where two assassins disguised as monks killed Count Raymond II at high mass. Very, very good deal. Well, finally, one of the most remarkable of these distant groups were the Fatimids, whom I've mentioned before. The Fatimids were very much within this line of tradition of Shiites and Aliyids. They traced their descent back to Ali and Fatima, hence the name Fatimid. They were descended from Ali and the one and only daughter of Muhammad. And in 909, the leader Al-Mahdi, which is simply means the inspired one, came out of hiding in Morocco, rallied various Berber forces, and swept across North Africa. This Fatimid success climaxed in 969 when their ex-Greek or Byzantine slave general, a fellow named Jawar, occupied Cairo and took over Egypt. With Egypt fell Mecca and Medina, the holy cities, and Fatimid armies then pushed into Syria and had on as their target Baghdad. And for a very brief moment, at one point, the Fatimid armies actually did occupy Baghdad for 40 days. This stunning success meant that the Sunni Abbasid caliphs in Baghdad for the first time faced a really serious Shiite opponent. The Eastern sectarians hailed the Fatimids as their deliverance, particularly the Assassins groups. They simply lined up. There were other sectarian groups who operated technically in the name of the reigning Fatimid caliph through the 10th and early 11th century, expecting that these caliphs would usher in a new apocalyptic age of pure Islam. Well, unfortunately, their expectations were not met. While Al-Mu'izz, who was the caliph who moved the government to Cairo in 973, officially the Fatimids assumed a position in Cairo, this government very quickly settled into the administrative and political traditions of the Near East. By the early 11th century, certainly by the reign of the notorious caliph Al-Hakam, who signed that treaty with Basil II, the Fatimid caliphs were ruling essentially as the Shiite version of the Abbasid caliphs. Both regimes had caliphs as figureheads. Both regimes had powerful ministers, viziers, military officials. In the case of the Abbasids, these would be Turkish officers. In the case of the Fatimid caliph, these were often Greek, Slavic, or Berber officers, that is, slave soldiers, who ran the governments. And this, of course, disenchanted the more extreme sectarians. And in a way, by the mid-11th century, the Islamic world was now in a political and religious stalemate. The ideal of a single authority, a single ummah, in the hands of a caliph, a descendant from Muhammad, had been shattered. There were now two such caliphs. There's actually a third one. In 929, there was a caliphate set up in Spain, but it was so on the periphery that most Muslims probably didn't pay attention to it. This stalemate would only be broken by an unexpected change, and that is by the arrival, the migration of the Seljuk Turks of Central Asia, who would sweep through the Near East, restore the authority of the Abbasid caliph, and take on the Fatimid caliph in the name of Islam. And with the Seljuk Turks came not only a rejuvenation of Islam, but also the decisive attack on the Byzantine Empire that brought down the Byzantine state and ushered in the Crusades.